Well, thank you, Pastor. I appreciate those kind words. Let's take our Bibles tonight, turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. In RU, as well as in our Sunday school class, we've been taking a kind of word-by-word, verse-by-verse study over Psalm 1. And it started back a few weeks ago. And for you folks that are in my class, know that I cannot finish one lesson in one 30-minute series. So I know some of you are looking at, don't worry, okay? We're going to get out early tonight, I hope. I have really enjoyed, teaching this and getting in and dissecting and defining these words in Psalm 1, a very important passage of Scripture. Psalm 1 really is God's way of prosperity. There's a lot of ways in the world's eyes for prosperity, isn't there? Or at least through power and popularity and pleasure and all of those things. But God says that His way of prosperity is based upon some things that we're going to look at tonight. So just kind of sit back, buckle up. We're going to go through at least two verses. Maybe we'll get three, and I'll let you out of here early so we can get out and enjoy our Labor Day weekend. By the way, and let me just say this, I appreciate your faithfulness tonight. Looking around, and this is a Labor Day weekend, and almost the auditorium is full, and that just really is encouraging to Pastor, I know. And continue praying for Pastor. Sure appreciate you, Brother Tyler, and love you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to preach tonight. Let's look in Psalm 1. We're going to read the whole chapter, but we're just going to dissect and define just a couple of verses here. But most of you probably have this chapter memorized. And if you don't, then you ought to. It's a good chapter to memorize, and we'll get into it tonight. Here we go. Psalm 1, verse number 1. Let's read it together, okay? Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Tonight, I just want to kind of bring you three quick points tonight from really verses 1, 2, and 3. I want to look first tonight at the separation. Did you notice? It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We've been dealing with and talking about how this separation is found in verse number 1. And it tells us that we're blessed. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to be blessed. Don't you want to be blessed? And he tells us there is some separation. And this is really the negative side of the ledger. Now, we're going to get to the positive side, but this is really the negative side of the ledger. So the successful believer is separated by his walk of life. Did you see it? First of all, he does not believe like the wicked. He doesn't listen to the counsel or the counsel of the ungodly. And he doesn't accept the invitations to do evil. His hearing is not toward the world. His hearing is higher. And his hearing is from the Holy Spirit of God, listening to what the Word of God tells us. So he does not believe like the wicked. But not only does he not believe like the wicked, he does not behave like the wicked. Right. Pastor mentioned it this morning very eloquently, that there are some things that Christians should not do. Right. Some places that Christians should not go. Amen. And not because God's trying to keep us from having fun. He's trying to protect us. He's trying to give us a blessed life. So we don't believe like the wicked. We don't behave like the wicked. He tells us that the old man is put away forever and we're a new man. Amen. Created in Christ Jesus unto righteousness. He doesn't believe, he doesn't behave, and he doesn't belong with the wicked. Now, did you notice the downward progression there from walking to standing to sitting? It's a downward progression. And this is the path that Lot took in the Old Testament when he was with Abraham, with Abram, and then went then chose the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then before long he's sitting in a place of leadership. And then we know that later on that when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, that he had to literally pull he and his family out, and Lot's wife turned around and see and turned to a pillar of salt. And his progression continued to go downward. So that's a separation. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time with that because I think we understand what's separation. But I do want to spend some time tonight and the majority of our time on the second point, and that is occupation. Did you notice in verse number 2? It says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Did you catch it? The delighting in the Lord, the delighting in God, and delighting in him. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, verse number 97, the psalmist says this, "Oh, how I love thy law. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." You know, we've memorized Psalm 1, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about meditation here in just a few minutes. But let's remember what Joshua chapter 1:8 says. In fact, let's turn there back there real quickly. And I want you to look at this, and this is a kind of a companion verse to Psalm 1, verse number 2. Joshua chapter 1, and look in verse number 8. Are you there? Say amen. All right, here we go. "This book of the law," that's God's word, "this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest to observe to," what? "To do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have," what? "Good success." Now, I know that I've told you guys this before, but I want to just remind you of it. Now, I believe in repetition. I believe in reminding, because I need reminded of things all the time, and my wife tells me that. You know how many times the word success is found in the Bible? One time. And it's found right here in Joshua chapter 1:8. Now, you go to Barnes & Noble and start looking for books on success, how many are you going to find? Innumerable. But God puts his emphasis on success on one thing, and what is that? The Word of God. The Word of God. You know, having we see here the delighting in God, and having refused to walk in the way of the evildoer and the counsel of the ungodly in verse number 1, this person instead is focusing on knowing God's Word. We do this because the way to float rubbish out is to pour water in. I was cleaning out a trash can just a few weeks ago and realized that it was pretty dirty. And I thought, man, I'm just not going to get in there and one of the big drums and try to clean that thing out. I'm going to put some water in it. And I realized that pouring that water in, it floated the rubbish up. And I said that to say this, folks. You can't get rid of the garbage in your life simply by mental effort. Right. Or the idea, well, I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. No, that doesn't work. You have to replace the negative with something positive. That's what Paul was saying in the New Testament when he talked about the put off, renew, and put on principle. And so often that we tell people, and I remember as a teenager, as a youth pastor, telling teenagers that, hey, listen, what you need to do is you need to get rid of all the rotten music that you're listening to. But what we sometimes forgot to tell them, we forgot to tell them they need to renew their mind and replace it with the right type of music. Because let me tell you something, you can get rid of all the sin out of your life, and you ought to. But if you don't renew your mind and replace it with what the Word of God says and with God's Word, you're going to be right back into your addiction. You're going to be right back into the sin that you were doing and not have the accountability. And it's so important that we make sure we replace the negative with the positive. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:26 that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Philippians 4:8 tells us to what we're supposed to think about, that we're supposed to think about truth and then obey the truth. Then the Bible says, and after you think about the truth and you obey the truth, then the God of peace will be with you. John 14:6 tells us that Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by Him. But we so often forget, yes, He is the way, but He's also the truth. And aren't you glad for truth? In a world that don't know what truth is, aren't you glad we have the Word of God that's true? Amen. And we can take it and know its truth and know it's right and be able to put our life into the Word of God and see our lives do some changing. So if Jesus is the truth, then Jesus needs to be the occupier of the thoughts. And what we need to do, we need to float the rubbish of our mind by putting the Word of God or putting Jesus in it. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you're not going to be able to get over your sin until you put Jesus in His rightful place. And I love this quote, in your heart, there's a throne and a cross. Either you're on the throne and Jesus is on the cross, or you're on the cross and Jesus is on the throne. And that is so very important. And that ought to be a quote that we remember every day. You ought to write that in the front of your Bible. All of us should, to help us remember that Jesus is supposed to be in the rightful place in our thoughts and in our heart. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 tells us, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from bearing fruit. And then verse number 9, we know that verse, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But verse number 10 tells us, listen, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing. We are to delight in the Lord. Now, did you notice in verse number 2, the first word there? What is it? The word but. It is a word of contrast. And what that's telling us is that we need to pause and ponder what the writer is saying, what the Word of God is saying here. And we need to ask the question, why is this being contrasted? All right, we saw the negative in verse number 1. Now we see the positive, the right side of the ledger, the wrong side, the right side. And we need to understand why this is being contrasted. And what this is, it tells us that we need to force ourselves to stop and ponder and reread this and find out exactly what it's saying. I like to think, and by the way, that's a great exercise for us to do in our Bible reading. Instead of just reading it through and putting our check mark or trying to get so much in, we really need to stop and ponder and pause and think what the Word of God is saying. And this is a great exercise. But think of the word but here as a hinge on a door that opens into another room. What the psalmist is doing here, he is changing directions from the broad way that leads to destruction to the narrow way that leads to a blessed life. And that spiritual dynamic is the same dynamic that Paul uses when he tells Timothy that he ought to be a vessel of honor and not a vessel of dishonor. And if a man cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, sanctified, set apart, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now you're going to notice that true Bible separation here is balanced. Is balanced. If not, we become isolated and not separated. Now for a long time, I was under the impression that separation is isolation. But it's not. I've learned something. I think a better word that we can use is the word insulate. To insulate ourselves. You know, I've being a youth pastor, I've gone to different places that maybe I didn't always agree with what they were doing, but I wanted to be an encouragement to the family of being there. And I had to isolate myself. And I believe this is what the Word of God is saying here. We are to pursue or make a habit to do righteousness. That we are to make a habit and to pursue faith and love and peace and joy with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. 1 Timothy 4:7 tells us, but refuse profane and old wives' fables. And when I thought about that, it's one of the funniest verses in the whole Bible. Obviously, back in the Bible times, women loved to talk. By the way, we guys do too. Is that right? I heard a lot of amens on that. What does that mean? I believe what Paul is writing here, he's telling Timothy, hey, listen, don't have anything to do with worldly philosophies. Don't have anything to do with ideas or worldliness. And then the Bible says to exercise thyself. Now, that means to have discipline. It takes discipline to do a workout program. It takes discipline to do a diet program. It takes discipline to run a marathon or do anything that you're trying to do. But let me tell you something, it takes discipline to live godly as well. And we've got to get in the Word of God. We've got to get up in the morning and spend time with the Lord and spending time in prayer and spending time in the Word of God and reading and studying and meditating on the Word of God day and night. Then he tells us that bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit a little bit. But godliness is profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is and with that which is to come. Now, listen, there is a lot of things that we need to delight in. Now, let me ask you tonight, are you delighting in the Lord? Are you delighting in Him? Are you delighting in Him? And once you have this good gift of delight, are you acting upon it? Seeking God in His Word. So how do you maintain this attitude? Well, let me give you another idea. I think we need to devour the truth. We need to devour the truth. I think Jeremiah gives us a clue as to the dynamic that begins to occur when we delight and devour divine truth. In the midst of a very difficult time, which also speaks to where all saints should go when they feel overwhelmed, the weeping prophet Jeremiah said this. Listen to this verse in chapter 15, verse number 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Now, keep in mind that is figuratively speaking. All right? I had a dog. Actually, we had a dog back just a few months ago that we was trying to help get Cody and a service dog. And that dog had some problems. Man, did it have some problems. But you know what this dog did? It ate my New Testament. Ate it. I mean, literally ate it. I've got it at home. If you want to see it, I'll show you where he took a good bite out of it. Now, that's not what this is saying. This is talking about figuratively speaking. He said, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O God, O Lord God of hosts. Now, what is meant by he ate them? I believe this is talking about appropriation and then assimilation. When we take it in and then we do it. Now, the Bible tells us that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Okay? But more important than being doers, we need to be beers. We need to be Christian. We need to be Christ-like. All right? And the doing doesn't come the right way, because that turns into legalism and all that, unless we are, first of all, have the right heart in doing it. And meditation stands to reading as digestion does to eating. We take a bite of food, we chew it up in our mouth, and we enjoy the taste, and then we swallow it to digest. It is as God's Word is pondering by the mind, turned over and over in our thoughts and mixed with faith, then do we begin to assimilate it. That which occupies the mind and most constantly engages our thoughts is what we most delight in. Let me say that again. That which most occupies the mind and most constantly engages our thoughts is what we most delight in. You see, when we're eating, and when we're truly eating God's Word, and I'm talking about figuratively here, not literally, okay? What do? We begin to have a greater love and a greater delight for the Word of God. Jesus gave a parable passage of this in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be," here it is, "filled." That means they shall be satisfied. So there's a devouring of the truth, but there's also a doing of the will, of doing of God's will. Now, clearly here, delighting and devouring must be followed up with doing. All right? Obedience does not save us, but it is a key to the blessed life. All right? If you're not experiencing the good hand of the Lord upon you, as described here in verse number 3 that we're going to get to here in just a minute, perhaps you have deluded yourself by just simply reading God's Word. Now, is reading God's Word important? Absolutely. The Bible tells us that we are to read the Word of God, but that's not just all. We're supposed to study the Word of God. We're also supposed to memorize God's Word. Then we're supposed to meditate on God's Word. And those four steps are very important if we're going to live the Christian life, and God's going to be give us a blessed life and do what He wants us to do and be blessed. We've got to read it. We've got to study it. We've got to memorize it. We've got to meditate it. If we're going to be blessed by what God wants us to do. Are you growing in grace and Christ-likeness? You've got to apply the Word in order to experience that blessed life. James 1:2, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Be means it is a command and it's a habitual practice or lifestyle. Be doers of the word. But you got to be beers first. All right? It means to have that continual practice. It's not enough to just read the Bible as a duty. We've got to devour it. And it must come with delight. And if you're having trouble with delight, it may be because you haven't did what verse number 1 says. You haven't separated yourself from that negative ledger. And then let's look at it as well as the declaration of the word. This phrase here in verse number 2, "But his light is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." It's not just talking about the Ten Commandments. It's talking, or the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. It really is talking about God's whole law, all of God's Word. The righteous man delights in, not just on, but in, picturing a more intimate involvement with the Word of God. In Psalm 119, virtually every verse deals with some aspect of God's Word. The psalmist gives us a beautiful picture of what it means to delight in the law of the Lord when he says this, in verse number 131, "I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed." That means an over and over and over and over and over longing for thy commandments. I thought about this today as I was pondering and meditating on this verse. I was out mowing my yard in the middle of the afternoon, and it was hot. And it was hot. It was real hot. After a few minutes, after I got through getting the backyard done, I had to go get some water. And my mouth is about as dry as it is right now. I don't know what it is about you guys, but when I'm in my Sunday school class, I never have to drink water. But when I come over here, forget it. I have cotton mouth bad. It's bad. But man, I was panting for that water. I'd take a drink, go back to doing mowing and edging, and I'd go back, man, I need some more water. I need some more water. I need some more. And that is the idea of needing and longing for the Word of God over and over and over. Let me tell you something. There's nothing better than having the Word of God, especially when you're in a time of sickness or death. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it in the world. Does this describe your Christian walk? If not, perhaps you might dare to pray the prayer to God and ask Him to give you the desire that pants for and cannot live without His Word, the truth of life. Spurgeon said this, "So animated was his desire that he looked into the animal world to find a picture of it. He was filled with an intense longing and was not ashamed to describe it by a most expressive, natural, yet singular simple. Like a deer that has been hunted in the chase and is hard-pressed, and therefore pants for breath, so did the psalmist pant for the entrance of God's Word into his soul. Nothing else could contend him. All that the world could yield him left him still panting with open mouth." Let me tell you something. There is not a problem in our world today that the Word of God cannot take care of. It's not one. With people needing satisfaction, everybody trying to do everything they can to fill that hole in their heart, there's nothing that the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word can't fill. Amen. Did you notice that His delight is a delight and not an obligation? It's not a job, it's not a duty, it's not a drudgery, but His delight. It's His great pleasure, His emotional delight. Delight reflects one's attitude. An attitude that precedes an action. And what is it? Meditate day and night. You can mark it down. You ready? Mark it down. Write this down. Put it on your Twitter. Put it on your Facebook. Whatever delights your heart will end up directing your heart. Whatever delights your heart will end up directing your heart. And if you delight in His Word, you're going to eat it. You're going to memorize it. You're going to meditate it. But if you struggle with your Bible reading and your memory and your meditation because you don't find pleasure in it, we have other things we want to get more, like our television programs or breakfast or work or newspaper or computer or Facebook or Twitter or something like that, then let me tell you something. Our heart's inclined to do other things and do not incline to the Word. And it's not a delight. Let me encourage you, make it a delight. Did the psalmist ever struggle with this? I believe they did. Take heart. We all do. We all do. How should this be changed? I believe the answer that I will stress is that we change it from a duty to a delight through prayer. Through prayer. One writer wrote this, "I scanned the Scriptures thoughtlessly. My haste had closed my ear. Then prayerfully I read once more. This time my heart could hear." And then last, we see the deliberation of the Word. We are to be Scripture-saturated saints. We are to be Scripture-saturated saints. What is meditating? A lot of people want to know what that is. Really, it is the idea of digesting something thoroughly or ruminating, going over and over in your mind repeated slowly. Chewing the cud, as some of you farmers may be able to refer to that. Considering each verse and pondering it from its different angles. As we continually meditate on God's holy word, we're not simply passively reading the text. And by the Spirit we obey, and it begins to illuminate, and then it begins to transform our lives into the glory of God that He wants for our life. Hey, listen, talk to the Lord, and the Lord will talk to you. He'll talk to you. Do you realize that God feeds the birds? But he doesn't put it in the nest. He doesn't put it in the nest. Someone once said, the Bible is bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. James 1:25, but whoso looketh, that means to stoop down and look, or looking to see something exactly, into the perfect law of liberty. Hey, listen, freedom in Christ is not the right to do as one pleases, but the Spirit-enabled power to please God and do what is right. And continueth therein is being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. You see, while James does not use the word meditate, the idea is there, isn't it? It's there. And that's the description of the blessed man. And then number three, and this is it. I'm just going to end it on this. Three is fertilization. Did you notice what verse number three says? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree. Many of you have heard pastor's illustration about getting out past Fort Worth, out in West Texas, out near Midland and Abilene and Odessa, and if you ever fly over that, there's just nothing there. But if you'll notice that as you're flying over, that the most densely trees and shrubs and weeds are all round creeks or rivers. Why is that? Because they're close to a water source. They're close to that water source. And let me encourage you tonight, church family, get close to that water source, and that is the Word of God. And then you'll start seeing how God will bless your life in so many great ways. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Pastor, you come and close the service.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the message we've just heard that reminds us again of the great importance of your word in our lives. I pray every Christian here has been challenged to delight in your word, to devour it, and to allow it to assimilate in our hearts to make us into the Christians that do your will. Lord, there's probably not a Christian in this room who hasn't been convicted or encouraged by something that was said tonight. And may all of us, each and every one of us, respond as you've spoken. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this evening? We're going to have a verse of invitation. The most important message in the Bible is that we're sinners, but God loves us. He sent Jesus to save us. If you've never put your faith and trust in him, tonight you can, and we'll show you from God's word how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Christian, let me ask you, what does your daily relationship with God's word really look like? In my years of pastoral experience, the largest gap in any church, any Christian's life, is the gap between those who read the Bible every day and those who don't. You want the blessings of God in your life? Pick up this book, memorize it, meditate it, study it. You've heard the message. You respond tonight as God has spoken to you.
Take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord, abide in him always, and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek.
Are you really reading God's word every day? When's the last time you meditated on it day and night? In other words, you read your Bible time in the morning, but you actually thought about it throughout the day. That's where the real blessing comes. When's the last time you can think about your life that you found a biblical principle in your devotional life, you applied it throughout the course of your day, and it made a difference in the way you lived? That's what Brother Sides has been talking about today, and that's the blessed life. That's the life that God can bless. Well, I'm convinced each and every person in this room could do better at this tonight. May God help us. Corey's going to lead us in a verse. You come.
Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide, in joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word.